Greetings to you all this morning. It's been a real blessing already, and hopefully those blessings can continue. Just so much agree with and appreciate the truth that loving God is the foundation of all that we do. And the fact that God shares or instills in our heart his own love is key to that. So to realize that truth and the wisdom of God and that he has created us to receive that love and all that goes into that is humbling, and yet it brings much gratitude to our hearts. Okay, so I kind of feel like this is somewhat a continuation of what we had in Sunday school. I've titled it, You Will Not Be Overwhelmed. And maybe I should start with expressing kind of the thought behind the overwhelmed here. Because I do know that, there's times when we do feel overwhelmed. But the sense that I want to point out here is a thing of being overcome or overpowered by external powers to the point of not having the choice of whom we serve. Back to the foundation of loving God. If we can remain on that foundation, we will not be overwhelmed to that point. And that's not saying that there's more work lined up. There'll never be more work lined up for us than we can accomplish, or there's more being asked of me than I can provide, or things like that. But we won't be overcome to the point where we have no choice. So why is it that we often do feel overwhelmed if, in fact, we don't need to be? We will not be overwhelmed. I don't know. I'll just read what I wrote here in answering my own question there. We feel the emotion, the pressure, or the demand of others in our life. Maybe we are only falling short of our own expectations. Those things bring feelings of being overwhelmed. Whatever it may be, I think we fail to consider the moment. We fail to see God in the situation, to know in our heart that he is right there with us, ready, willing, and able to bear the burden that lies upon us. As is so true of all negative emotions, let's realize that the overwhelmed feeling is the indicator that we need to let go and let God, to cast our care upon him, and rest in knowing that he truly cares for us. That will not reduce the list of work. That will not reduce the incessant whys and whatever, you know, the questioning, that whatever it is that feels like overwhelming us, it won't reduce that. But we will be able to bear up under it and to love rather than to pine under the pressures. And believe me, I speak to myself in this. I really do. So how do we know that in spite of feeling overwhelmed, that we will not be? First, we must realize that it is only by God's grace and His provision of care that we are not overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed is to be overcome or controlled by outside forces. Unless God is the one governing our lives, those outside forces will be carnal. That is not what we desire. We have many promises of being cared for by God, and it is there that we want to be found and remain. So, if we look into Scripture and see some of those promises, some of the truths concerning God caring for us and being with us and so forth. A very nice passage in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Okay? So, that is where we want to be. Realizing that we are created of God. We need not fear. He has redeemed us, and He's called us by name, and we belong to Him. We have been bought with a price. So, if everything around us collapses, God still says, continuing in the next verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So, again, this, to me, this is a promise that God will not let us be overwhelmed. He will not let, as long as we seek Him, as long as we are in His love, He will not let us become overpowered with those outside forces. He goes on to say, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. This was speaking to Israel, and it doesn't necessarily exactly apply to us in full, but since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. We can claim that for our own there. You know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us, and we are precious in his sight. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. So, I'll just go ahead and finish that. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Fear not, for I am with thee. In those times of trouble, in those times of feeling overwhelmed, let's remember that God is with us. He has called us by our name, and he has created us for his glory. Okay, there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that has long really stood out to me. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And he said, hearken all Judah, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We face battles. We're not engaged in physical combat, but our battles are spiritual. And you know, there's the battle of good versus evil. And that battle is very real. And the evil tends to overwhelm us. So we can always fall back to the thing of the battle is not yours, but God's. And just, you know, praise God for that. I find that account quite interesting, and I don't know, just to add some context or whatever, I would like to read that. I was thinking the entire chapter, and we'll see. If you want to stand, I will read this. I'll just start at the beginning to get the entire story. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of, doesn't really matter, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I will leave it at there. You may be seated. There's several points that stand out to me. When the news came, In verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. When the overwhelmed feeling comes, let us seek the Lord. I think that is key. In verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So, you know, there's times when we experience that. Neither know we what to do, but let's keep our eyes upon God. I like verse 13. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. It wasn't just the men. It was everyone. They were together. Then, of course, the thing, the Lord telling them, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Then the thing of, you know, of going to battle singing. Can we face our battles singing? Or do we face them complaining? I think the key is to just trust God and not worry what this overwhelming thing would do to us. Okay, so what do we make of the trials, the fiery trials, which want to overwhelm us? What are those trials? How do we see them? How do we relate to that? Just my thoughts, I guess. Possibly it is a chastisement, which I looked into that a little bit as far as what the dictionary says of chastisement. And of course, the first entry is punishment. I don't believe that fits in the chastisements of God. But I don't know, was it maybe the third entry or something? It says to cause to be more humble or restrained. And I like that as far as chastisement of the Lord, because we do need to be humbled at times. We do need to be more restrained at times and not just, you know, let our flesh control us. It may be a trying of our faith. You know, do we love God more than we love our own self? So a few verses on, or a few passages on the trials that we face. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, Peter was able to see this trial of faith to be more precious than gold. The fruits or the end results of those trials, if we face them with God's love in our heart, the fruit of that is eternal glory, home in heaven, which is more precious than the gold which perisheth. This then took my mind to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So if we think of being overwhelmed and possibly it is a temptation, you know, we're tempted to do something we really don't want to, we know it's not right, and yet the temptation persists. Here we are promised that God is faithful and will not suffer us to be tempted beyond what we're able to withstand. But he brings us a way of escape. He prevents us from becoming overwhelmed. And again, it takes God's love and an understanding of that love to live that. Okay, so in chapter 4 of 1 Peter now, beloved, think it not strange, this is verse 12, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So, again, concerning the fiery trial, he's asking us to rejoice in that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. In Hebrews now, on chastisement, Hebrews 12, starting in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This, of course, is speaking of Christ. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every man, every son, whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. So again, this chastening is to make us more humble or more humble or restrained. So let's not despise those chastenings. You know, there's scripture that says I know it better in the German version, but the every chastening, when it is present, is not joyous for us, but the fruits of it is peaceable or something like that. So the chastening is not joyous. It's not something we it's not the experience in itself is not something that we cherish, but the fruits of it is precious, and has eternal value. Okay, so the overarching thing in all of our life experiences is God's tender love for us. Let us never forget that. Like we heard in Sunday school, love, God's love is the very foundation of everything that we do. The tough things in life only prove his love for us and our love for him. He's promised never to leave us or to forsake us. That promise is true. You know, if we become separated from God, it's not that he has forsaken us, but that we have forsaken him. So, are we believing that promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us? He's right there by my side. There's a song with that phrase in it. And as we do life's journey and we have Christ by our side, and things would overwhelm us, what he really wants us to do is to humble ourselves and to cast our cares upon him so that we can be free to continue and simply serve in love. Let him carry the things that would that seem heavy to us. You know, there's times when it seems God is asking more of us than we can bear or accomplish, but let's never doubt. God knows what he's doing. He knows what we need, what it takes for us to whatever, maybe wake up to the call or to be jolted into seeing our life as it is. It's a call to a deeper love, a deeper understanding of him. And as we surrender our will to his calling and understand the moment, we realize his great love. Even in the midst of the fiery trial, the call is to rise to the occasion and flourish in God's love. So these trials are simply a call to a deeper love, deeper dependency or understanding of his love for us and our need of him in our life. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the key here, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned, but we have the victory because Christ is with us. So can we use this? We will not be overwhelmed as a battle cry. Just a personal battle cry. When that situation arises, can we take a step back and realize with God all things are possible? And we will not be overwhelmed. We will not be overcome by these pressures, these things that seem to be dragging us down. Not because we are a tower of strength, but because God is with us. And in God's mighty power, we can overcome. We do not need to be overcome of evil or whatever those things are. Just acknowledging God's great love and his divine interest in our lives. He allows the trials and blesses the victory. He truly will not heap loads on us greater than the grace he offers with each trial. Our part is to believe and to trust. In so doing, we can face the battle singing, "The battle is not yours, but God's." Hebrews 13:5-6, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We can sum that up in, I will not be overwhelmed. Again, not because of my strength, but because of the power of God working in me and his love in carrying me through that situation. 1 Peter 5:6-7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." As we humble ourselves and realize that it is God's love that takes us through life, it is his care for us, his provision, we humbly accept that, and then we hand our cares, our struggles to him, and realize that he loves us, he's working for us, he's fighting our battles, and we can face the battle singing. He will not allow us to be overwhelmed. Yes, the burdens press and the cares distress. The day grows weary, the long nights dreary. Still, Jesus is right there with us. Walking by our side, guiding us, shielding us, ready and able to take all our cares, not to carry part of the load, but the entirety of it. So that is the end of my sermon, but I would like to close with the next few verses in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11, just an encouragement. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So at this point, I will open for further comments or testimony, whatever may have been laid upon your heart.